know, at this stage, we're busy in a season, in a sense, where we are talking about the feet of Christ. We're talking about the hands of Christ, the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and what it all means, basically. And I think it's so important for us to be in a place where we need to realize that for us to really be able to follow Christ, we need to be able to see Him. We need to be able to understand Him. And it's easy, it's almost like, I want to call it Christianese, to talk about things where we say, no, I'm just imitating Christ. But how do you imitate someone that you can't see? How do you imitate someone that you don't know what they are like? Because in the end, you need to know someone to be able to imitate them. And I think that's why it's so important in this season for us to be in this place of saying, okay, but if we talk about the feet of Christ, what are we talking about? If we talk about the mind of Christ, for instance, and we'll get to that, but what's the mind of Christ like? What's the heart of Christ like? And we need to understand Him to be able to become like Him. So this morning what we're basically going to do is we're still talking about the feet of Christ. And there's two scriptures I just want to share with you that will help us to understand why do we talk about the feet of Christ. What does it refer to if we talk about the feet of Christ? And the first one is Ephesians 6, verse 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And the second scripture I want to read is Romans 10, verse 15. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, if we talk about the feet of Christ, the thing we're actually referring to is the willingness to go. So whenever we open up the Bible and we read about feet and shoes and those kind of things, it's talking about, it's in the context of going. It's in the context of willingness to go. It's in the context of, are we willing to go? And not just get out there, not just move somewhere, but it's talking about going out to share the gospel of the good news. So it's all about going out to share what Jesus shared. That's what it's all about. So that's what we are talking about when we refer to the feet of Christ. And I think if we think about this, we might find ourselves in a place where we say, okay, so I'm supposed to go now. Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? These kind of questions we can ask, or why am I supposed to do this? But I think before we can answer that, because we're imitating Christ, we need to look at Christ. So before we can say where I'm supposed to go, before we can answer the question on what am I supposed to do or why am I supposed to do it, we need to ask ourselves, okay, but where did He go? Why did He go? Those kind of things we need to ask about Christ before we can look at our own lives and answer it for our own lives. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to basically look into these three questions of where, what, and why in the life of Christ. And I think once we do that, we'll be able to answer those three questions in our own lives. So the first question being where. Where has He been? If we think about Jesus, and we're talking about following Jesus, following in the footsteps of Jesus, where has He been? Where was He going? Where was He ending up? Because if we're going to follow in His footsteps, we're supposed to go where He has gone already. We need to be able to go to that same places. And a verse I want to read is John 14, verse 6, saying, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus saying, He is the way. So what this means to us is he's leading the way and we're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to follow in his footsteps. But what we can clearly see is he's talking about him and the Father, and he's the way to the Father. So what we know, if we talk about Jesus and following in his footsteps, the place we're supposed to end up is at the Father. Because that's where Jesus is now, isn't it? So that's the place where he's leading us. And therefore it's important for us that we will follow in his footsteps to go to that same place. Now if we think about Jesus and we think about his life on earth, we know that he grew up to become a man in Nazareth. But we also know that he lived, when he grew up, he lived among the people around the Sea of Galilee. We also know that he lived among people that came from Jerusalem, for instance. And from time to time, he went to Jerusalem. But there's a lot of scriptures, if we read it, we see that it's almost like he was always going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. If I look at scriptures, it's like, but is it supposed to be here or there? Because he's always going to the other side, if we look at scriptures. But it was because he was going around in towns around the Sea of Galilee. And so we can think about this and say, okay, this is where Jesus was. This is where he went. As he lived around that places. And in the end, what we know already, although that he's been there before, but in the end of his life on earth, he went down to Jerusalem. And there he got captured and he got crucified. That's where he went. So we can ask the questions this morning. Okay, so looking at the life of Jesus, supposed to be following in the footsteps of Jesus, how do we go where he was going? How do we go to the same places where he was? And I think we need to ask the question and just answer it as well. Is it about physical places? No. God is not saying because Jesus went around the Sea of Galilee, because Jesus was in Israel, all people need to go to Israel. He's not talking about physical places. Yes, you can go to Israel. I've been there. It's very interesting and all that kind of stuff. But God is not calling us to that physical place. He's calling us to a spiritual place. He's calling us to a place of having this journey with Jesus, still going where he is going today. But if we look at the life of Jesus on earth, and say, okay, we're going to follow in his footsteps. The place where he went on earth was to the cross. And that is where he's calling us to now, is to the cross. So I think it's very important for us to realize that when we talk about following in the footsteps of Jesus, what it basically means to us today is we need to follow him to the Christ, to the cross, sorry. We need to follow him to the cross. And if we think about Christ, the reason why he went to the cross is to lay down his life. So if we are going there with him, if we're going to the cross with Jesus, it's to lay down our lives. It's for no other reason. But that's the place where he's leading us to. The second question I asked in the beginning is what? What did he do? We're looking at the life of Jesus. We're looking at the things that he did. And we need to ask this question, okay, but what did Jesus do? And I think the simple answer is Jesus changed the history forever. I think if we look at the lives of at the life of Jesus, we can see the impact he had on millions of lives around him. Those millions of people, not only in the time where in back then when he lived on earth and when he walked on earth, but even today. I think all of you will agree with me that we are sitting here today and are together today because of what he did, because of his influence. So even still today, the impact that he had on this earth and still has is still making impact in our lives today. But there's something important if we think about the life of Christ. Because how is it possible that one person can have such an effect on the lives of people? And remember, we are called to follow in the footsteps of Christ. So just as his life influenced so many other lives, our lives are supposed to influence so many other lives. But how is it possible? How is it even possible to do that? How is it even possible for that to happen? And if I think about Jesus, and if I think about his life, this one verse I just want to read is John 1 verse 14. And the world became and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. You see, I think it's very easy to talk about the Word of God. I think it's very easy to tell people, but this is what we are supposed to do. I think it's a different story for the Word of God to become flesh, to become flesh in our own lives. Because that's what happened with Jesus. The Word became flesh. So that Word of everything that we read in the Bible of what God is manifested in Jesus. So it was, think about this for a moment. It's like you can read the Bible and the Bible tell you God is like this and he's like this and this is how we feel about people, all that kind of stuff. And then you look at Jesus and you can see it. You can see, but this is like the Word says, is exactly the same. There's no difference. And there is this old saying that, if I may say that, in Christian circles that people like, we like to use sometimes. And it's basically saying, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So it sounds very nice and spiritual and everything, but it's so far from the truth. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Because you see, if you go to Scripture, it's not saying preach the gospel and if necessary use words. It's saying use words. It's saying share the gospel. It's saying share the goodness of Jesus Christ. If we look at the example of Jesus, what do we see? Is he didn't go around and say, but I'm the Word made flesh, so if people look at me, they're just gonna get saved. No. He shared the gospel. He preached. He talked about God, who God is, what he's capable of, how he feels about people, the price that's being paid for them because God wants a relationship with them. But also on the other side is that Word did become flesh in the way that he lived, in what he did. So it's not for us, it's not a place where we can choose whether we're going to share the goodness and whether we're going to live it. It's both. We can't choose, am I going to do this one or that one? We are expected to do both of them. So just like Jesus following in his footsteps is that place where we go out, we preach, we share testimonies of who God is, what he's capable of, or what he does. But on the other side, we live it as well. Because it doesn't help that we tell people about the goodness of God and we don't show them the goodness of God. The third question that we had in the beginning is why? Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus walk around on this earth? Why did Jesus go down to Jerusalem, knowing he was going to be captured, knowing he was going to be crucified? Why? I think if you put yourself in that situation, if you think about going somewhere and someone tells you, listen, if you go there, you're going to be killed there. What are you going to do? I'd rather go somewhere else then. No, I'm not going there. But is that what Jesus did? He knew he was going to be crucified, but still he chose to go. And the question is, why? Why did Jesus go down to Jerusalem knowing he was going to be crucified? And there's only one reason for why. It's because of love. It's because of his love for us. It's because of his love for the world. There's no other reason why you lay down your life for anyone else. It's not about money. It's not about how people will see you or anything like that. If we lay down our lives, it's for love. There's no other reason. And that's exactly the way it was with Jesus. It's because of love he chose to lay down his life. Now, if we talk about love, a lot of times I think we've got like a worldly perspective of what love is. But Scripture tells us what love is. And I want to go there, and I know this is a very familiar scripture that we all know. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. And I'm only going to read a few verses out of that. But what I would actually want to ask you to go and do, go read the whole of 1 Corinthians 13 at home. Go read everything about it. And when you do, I think a lot of times when we read scripture, it's like we listening to our own voice reading scripture. It's almost like we hearing ourselves saying it. But remember, scripture is the word of God. So when you go read 1 Corinthians 13, I actually want to say, try and hear the voice of Jesus saying these words, explaining to us what love is. Because no one can explain to us better what love is. I almost want to say, than love himself, than Jesus. So when you read it, see Jesus, remember what he did for us, and then listen to his words of what love is. Just a few verses I want to take out is here from verse 4, and it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And then verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That is what love is. And if you think about these few verses that we just read, I think it's actually quite easy to say, but in a sense, it's like it is saying more what love is not than what it is, if you think about it. If you go read it, because it tells us it does not envy. It's not arrogant, it's not rude, does not insist on its own way. There's all these verses, or all these words telling us what it's not. And a lot of times if we want to hear what something is, you want to hear, but okay, it is this, it is this. But there's such a focus on what it is not. And if I read something like that, I always ask the question, okay, but why? Why does it describe love in this way? And the answer is simply because if you remove all the rest, love is what remains. And it's actually the same in our journey with Jesus. If we choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if we choose to go to Jesus and journey with him, walk with him, what he's going to do is he's going to remove a lot of things out of our lives, out of us, and love is the only thing that will remain. But to get that pure love, we need to remove the rest to come to a place of pure love. And if we talk about removing things, and it basically, when I prepared this, it just made me think about a couple of scriptures where it talks about God being the refiner or the purifier of silver. And especially then Malachi 3, verse 3, it talks about God sitting in front of this oven, in front of this fire, while refining and while purifying. And there's this, it's not just a story, it's something that really happened. There's this Bible study group of women, and they came together and they studied some scriptures and worked through scriptures. And in doing that, basically what happened is, they came to Malachi 3, verse 3, where he talks about God sitting in front of this fire, purifying this silver. And they thought, but this is almost like, it's like a funny way of explaining God, explaining where he's at, what he's busy doing. And they decide, but to really understand the scripture, what they need to do is maybe they need to go to a silversmith and see how do they purify or refine silver. So one of the ladies, they phone someone and ask the person if they can come and see how does this work. How do you purify silver? And the guy said, yes, she can come. And she went there. And she basically stood by as he was doing what he's doing every single day. And he took the silver and he put it in the fire. But while doing it, he explained to her, when you put this silver in the fire, you need to put it in the middle where the fire is the hottest. So you can't put it anywhere in the oven in the middle, in the place where the fire is the hottest. And the reason why you're doing that is because you want all the dirt, everything that's not pure, to be burnt out. Because you see, if you keep this in that hot place, everything that's not pure will be removed from that silver. It will come out and it will burn away. And only the pure silver will stay behind. And she asked him, but this is, looks like it can be quite a process. So can you put it in there and then you go carry on, do other things, and later, after maybe a while, you come and just take it out? And he explained to her, no, it doesn't work that way. You need to sit in front of the oven all the time because you need to keep your eye on it. You can't take your eye off it. Because if you leave it in there too long, the silver itself will burn away. So you need to put it in there and you keep your eye on it all the time. Because you need to take it out at just the right time. And the obvious question then is, okay, but when is the right time to take it from the fire? And his answer was, the moment I see myself in the silver, I can take it out. And that picture of God sitting in front of this oven with me and you in there in that hot place, but with his eye on us all the time, that's the picture of love. And it's so important to realize that I think God has got a plan for each of us with our lives. And a lot of times we find ourselves in difficult places where we think, but yes, I think God forgot about me. A lot of times we're in that place where we basically feel, but yes, does he even know what's going on in my life? But I think through all of that, he's purifying us. And he's bringing us to a place where he can see himself in us. Because that's why we go through these difficult times and difficult places. But I think, to end off, I think it's so important for us to be following in the footsteps of Jesus. I think it's so important for us to come to a place where we are willing to lay down our lives. If we talk about following in the footsteps of Jesus, if we talk about going to the places he has been, we need to ask ourselves, but can I really come to a place where I'm willing to lay down my life at the cross? Can I really come to a place where I say, Lord, it's all about you and your purposes for my life. It's not about me. It's not about my plans. I'm willing to lay down everything for you. Freddie, you can come to the front. Thanks. I think it's important for us to realize that God is calling us to a place like that. But the only way we can come to that place, the only way that we can come to a place where we can lay down our lives, where we can come to the cross and die with Christ, is if there is love. If the love remains in us. And therefore I know that God is calling us all to that place where we need to put our focus on him. We need to put our eyes on him, where we realize the price that he has paid for each of us, and where we become willing to follow that same journey. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, because I don't know all of you, and maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think by yourself, but yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to come to a place where I can lay down my life. You know, the first step of getting there is to first put up your hand and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm going to give my life to you. That's the first step of all the steps of following Jesus. 17 years ago, on a Monday evening, the 1st of October, a friend of mine sat in front of me and asked me if I'm willing to give my life to Christ. Now, a couple of months before that, I knew something in my life had to change. And I knew I needed Christ. And what happened back then is I first thought, but I can't come to God the way I am. There's so many things in my life that's out of place. There's so many things in my life that I first need to sort out. And what I did is, for months, I tried to sort out my life. I tried to lay down certain things to come closer to God. Because I wanted to be able to come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I've sorted out this and this, and now you can receive me. Here I am. But what happened in those months, I just drew further and further away from God. I wasn't able to sort out my life. On the 1st of October, that Monday evening, while I was praying, I remember every thought, I remember every word like it happened yesterday. And I remember praying and telling God, Lord, here I am. And Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. Lord, I'm not able to sort out my life. But I just want to give it to you. Funny words, but Lord, I just want to give it a go. See if you can do something with me. My life changed that evening. And it was not a thing of after praying something like that, everything was sorted out. It's not a thing of the next day, no more doing all the wrong things. But a journey with Jesus started there. And I think a lot of times we think about things and we don't take things step by step. We look at things and we say, I'm here and I'm supposed to be there. And we try and figure out, how am I going to get there? God is not calling you from here to there in a day or two. God is calling you to a journey where you walk with Him. And today, He's calling you to take the first step. Only the first step. You don't need to know the future. You don't need to be sorted out. You don't need to sort out things around you. All you do is you take the first step. So maybe this morning you're sitting here and you realize that you are in a place where you need to take a first step this morning. And maybe this morning that first step is really a first step for you. Where you've never came to Christ before. Or maybe this morning that step that you need to take is just a step back to Christ. You've been there. But you drifted away. And you realize this morning, but you just need to step back in His direction. It's still a first step. And if that's you, I'm not going to call you to the front now. But if that is you, I just want to invite you that afterwards, please come to the front so that we can pray with you and help you to take that first step. But also that so that there can be other people to help you on your journey and to walk with you in your path of walking with Jesus. And then secondly, what I just want to do, Romans 10 verse 15 says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, I don't believe that only us standing in front is supposed to share the good news or to preach the good news. I believe all of us are supposed to do it. And yes, maybe some of us will do it from a pulpit. But also, I believe some of us, maybe in a shop, maybe with your neighbor, maybe with a family member, there will be an opportunity for you to share the good news. My whole family, I'm talking about my brother, my sister, my parents, got saved because I shared something with them. And I wasn't a pastor back then. I was just someone in love with Christ. But God used that to change my whole family around. And this morning, I want to say to you, God can do the same for you. Doesn't matter what's going on in your family. Doesn't matter what's going on with friends, your neighbors. God can do the same for you. But you need to be willing to take that first step. And remember we said in the beginning, if we talk about the feet of Christ, we're talking about a willingness to go. And this scripture in Romans 10 talks about how are they to preach unless they are sent. This sent doesn't mean everyone come to the front and everyone gets anointed and now you go out, now you are sent. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to pray over you. And I just want to literally just send you out to wherever God is calling you. And that place is where God is calling us. It's not always, like I said, somewhere far away, somewhere else. It's a lot of times to our families. It's to our neighbors. It's to our friends. So what I want to do this morning is I want to pray a prayer over you, just sending you out to go and make a difference wherever God is has placed you. But I want to ask you to send you out. I want to ask you to stand up. So if you're sitting here this morning, you feel, okay, but yes, Lord, I'm putting up my hand. You can send me to touch the lives of the people around me. In other words, you're saying, Lord, I am willing. That's all God is asking for. You need to be willing. He's not saying you must be capable and stuff. So you need to be willing. If you're willing, I can send you. I can use you. I can change you. But all I'm asking is you need to be willing. So this morning I want to ask you, if you're sitting here and you say, I am willing, God can use me. Please pray over me and send me. Then I just want to ask you right now, just stand up. Just where you are. You're not coming to the front or anything like that. And after that, I just want to going to pray over you and then I'll finish off after that. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we can be in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we can know that you're calling all of us to go out to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Father, we look at Jesus. We look at where he's been. We look at where he is at now. And Father, we know, Lord, that every person out there, you want to see them saved. That's your heart. But Father, people need to experience your love to be able to get saved. And Father, we are supposed to be that love. You want to manifest your love through us to other people. And therefore, Father, every person standing in this place this morning, Father, I just want to send them out of this place in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, to go out and to share the good news in what they speak, but also in the way that they live. Father, that the words that we speak and the way that we live will be the same. That it will not be two different things. So therefore, Father, we just want to ask you, Lord, that you will be the one equipping each of us. Thank you for your Spirit, that we can know we're not going out, we're not journeying on our own, Father, but we're going with your Spirit. And Father, I want to ask every person standing here now, Father, that they'll just be able to experience your Spirit in their lives. That wherever you go, Father, that they'll be able to hear your voice, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, that when they hear your voice, that they will respond to that in Jesus' name. Not because of us, not because of what we want or can gain or anything like that, but because of you and because of your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that I can just declare over every person here standing in this place this morning that they are sent to go out and to preach the good news. The people that need to hear it. Father, also, I just want to ask you, Lord, that they will rest a blessing on each of us, Father. And everywhere we go, Father, that we will really experience you in our lives. So, Father, please be with us. Please be with our families. Please protect us. Father, the businesses and the workplaces that are represented here, Father, please be in those places. Let your blessing rest upon those places as well. Thank you, Father, that you're sending us to represent you wherever we are going. And thank you, Father, that we can know that you are love. And maybe we don't understand love the same way that you do. But, Father, lead us to a place to understand that so that we can become that in the lives of other people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.